This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dynamic Banter!
Mike and Steve are gonna do bits and have some fun!
Dynamic Banter!
Mark and Horn!
And make it good!
Dynamic Banter!
Don't forget the history road!
Dynamic Banter!
Time to shut up!
It's not so!
Tonight I'm in Chicago? Is that right?
Yeah, tonight.
That can't be right.
27th?
No, I don't think that. No. 22nd and 23rd. I'm in New York. Come see my fucking wet ass in New York at the Stand. It's my favorite place.
Mike's at the Stand. Mike understands.
Welcome to yet another episode of Dynamic Banter. And you know that every episode since the beginning of the show, practically, starts with our Joker's Wild Poker non-spawn chance to get rich for $1 million. A couple weeks ago, we got a scratch-off ticket from the liquor store down the street. And since then, we've been trying to beat the Joker's. That's right. That's the Joker, live in Folsom Prison. We've been trying to beat the dealer's hand. Dealer's hand, just a reminder, is ace, ace, eight, eight, queen. We have not an impossible hand to beat, Steve. That's two pair. A lot of things beat two pair. Let's talk about it. Three of a kind we can get. Straight, which is something that James... We could have a flush. We could have a full house. We could have four of a kind. A straight flush, which is something that James... Or a royal flush. Week three. Here we go. Time to scratch him up.
I had a burger last week, and afterwards I had a royal flush.
Five of hearts. Eight of diamonds. Not
I'm
looking
the Joker,
good.
Baby. I'm the
we legit got a Joker card when you played that. I did not know Jokers were part of this at all.
Is that a good thing?
I don't think it's ever been a good thing in poker.
You
don't get a joker in poker, but I will look it up.
I'm the Joker, baby.
A 10 of diamonds. A queen of hearts. What could a joker possibly mean?
I think it literally means like no card.
Uncover a red joker symbol, automatically win prize shown for hand.
Whoa!
Okay,
wait!
This is monumental.
Whoa!
Could we have verification that there's a red joker? Don't grab it.
See?
Look at it.
It's so small.
I see a red joker.
There's a red joker. I've never seen one of these before. So we decided, what are the stakes? If we get $50,000, we're stopping the podcast immediately.
$50,000 is a new show. $55,000 or above is stopping the podcast.
These are new stakes.
I'm down for like 10.
If we get, first of all, were you even here when this started?
Yes.
Okay, then I guess you're in.
Shit, he's in. He's in, Mike.
The whole crew should be in. If we win some crazy amount of money, James, you and me, Lima, Jomch, Corey, are all in. We're going to need more than $50,000 to stop the show, unfortunately.
What is it?
$40.
Let's go!
Oh my!
Your boys won $40.
The DB boys are rolling in it.
We won 40 bucks.
I'm the Joker, baby.
Dude, we've never won 40 bucks together.
That's crazy, Mike.
And we still have 10 more weeks to go.
Mike, I just want to say, as your friend and as your co-host on this show, I will forfeit my half of that money so that you can have.
You got half all of a sudden? We're splitting it seven ways. And you claim half?
I get Steve's hat.
$40 has really changed Steve.
Listen, I just don't need it, you know? It's not about me this time. It's about you and your lovely wife having a nice vacation, taking a nice vacation.
Bye.
That's nice vacation money. Dude.
There's one thing I'm taking on vacation, and that is Squarespace and Huel.
Squarespace.
Huel.
Huel.
There's one thing I'm taking on vacation. Squarespace and Huel. Squarespace. Huel.
Big shout out to Red Joker. Guys, welcome to the show. Big, huge opening. I mean, that's the biggest opening we've ever had.
That's the biggest budget we've ever had for an opening.
That was a big show open.
Overstimulated.
Huge show open. Like, maybe we could submit for an Emmy. Oops.
For your consideration.
For my consideration.
Listen, guys, today's a very special episode on the podcast. I'm traveling in real time, so we're going to go back and we're going to read some of the history roads from the goddamn past, including, but not limited to, a special history road from your friend and mine, English author Nicholas Hamilton.
That's right. It's been a minute since we've gone through history roads and read a whole bunch of them. And we talk about doing this. We've said we're going to do it. And, you know, sometimes it goes by the wayside. But now what I'm thinking is let's just do it. Let's just get in there. And I think it's time, dude. Let's go. History Road episode. Let's go.
History Road.
Yo, on the bay, under the cover. You're going to get me in a rubbish bin. You're going to be a fucking has-been.
Boy,
I'm eating bananas with the shell.
Jacking off to all the pictures that you sent us at the history room.
That's right, I'm not an enigma, and I'm gonna ligma.
We never do them, dude.
Never read them.
Mike, they guess what? I have huge news.
Wait, what?
Huge fucking news. No, bigger than that, actually.
I'm the Joker, baby.
There's huge fucking news, dude. Are you ready for this? I don't know if you're ready for this.
New Cloverfield movie.
Well, that would be rad, but that's not the big news. Apparently, the Big Bang Theory is wrong. It's
wrong.
What
the fuck? What are you talking about?
Scientists have claimed. New science has been claimed. New scientists are claiming the Big Bang Theory is wrong. Big Bang did not happen.
Has Neil deGrasse Tyson said anything about this?
Apparently there's some guy named God.
You have to subscribe to read it.
All right, this first history road... actually comes from, let's get some nice, I'd like some nice, like maybe some classical stuff to go here. How about that?
Lord of the Rings soundtrack.
I would love that. Let's get dinged, dude. Let's go to the ding zone. Guys, we got an email here from Nicholas Hamilton. An anthology of sorts is what it is called. And he says, long story short, I've been doing some journaling. That's cool.
That's cool.
Ah, my girlfriend journals.
Whoa.
And I can't wait to get my hands on it. To read what
else
she thinks about me.
You know who else journal?
Who?
Anne Frank. You can't. I was just trying to make a point.
What's the point?
Isn't it crazy that everything we learned about World War II, we learned from reading a little girl's journal? That doesn't seem right.
Apparently these are inspired by the works of comedic poet Tim Key. And in an effort to not bore myself to tears, my diary entries are often structured in somewhat of a poetic slash short story form.
It's less boring when you structure your journal entries.
I wanted to share a set of these pieces plucked from my first couple of writings. A set being three poems. Oh, there's audio. What is this audio? It says Mike. There's one in here called Mike.
This is taking up a lot of real estate.
It's an MOV. Is it him reading them to us?
Oh. Is it me in my bed, just kind of chilling the fuck out, maxing?
Hello, and welcome to what's happening right now. This, Nick doing poetry.
AI Australian.
The 27th of April, 2025. Mike, this week the city was visited by a friend. His grey speckled bushy beard frames a seemingly perpetual grin, and his eyes squint almost completely closed when he giggles.
Seemingly perpetual.
I like it so much that making him laugh has become my main objective.
I might jack off.
Whenever That's we okay. get the rare chance to meet up in person. True comedy comes when someone isn't trying to be funny, Mike says. But that advice doesn't stop me from making silly noises and commenting on a fat lady's waddle or a dog doing jumping around. There's that laugh again. Hello, and welcome to what's happening right now. This, Nick doing poetry. The 20th of April, 2025. Sprung. I woke up and the left side of my face felt 10 pounds heavier than the right. The rampant pollen meant that my corresponding nostril had been completely blocked when I dozed off. So the mucus couldn't escape or whatever as I slept. Now it's all built up in my nasal channels, like river water behind a beaver's hard work. Thank God no one's coming over today. They'd think me coked up, with my red nose, puffy eyes, and constant sniffling. They'd check out how my trash can overfloweth with used tissues, and think the cocaine had influenced me to jerk the fuck off all day like my meat was a stubborn bottle of ketchup. In reality, I've just been absolutely pounding the Flonase and overdosing on the Ratatine. Like a nerd.
That's lovely. That one's lovely. That was lovely. And then finally, this one's called My Neighbor Sucks.
Hello, and welcome to what's happening right now. This, Nick doing poetry. The 19th of April, 2025. My neighbor sucks. Guy next door loves a vacuum. Does it every day, sometimes twice. Sounds like he's picking the sucker up and bashing it against our shared wall, like his side's made of Velcro. And he wears a lot of linty sweaters, like he's got a sex thing that, when over, leaves a mucky mess across the plaster. Like his dog fancies dragging its dirty ass along the skirting as it saunters by, just to piss Keith off. That's his name. My neighbour. Keith. We met once in the hall. His dog cowered behind him as we shook hands, tail between his legs. Guilty as all fuck.
This is like when your friend's like, you gotta come see my one man show. You got it. It's 4 hours.
These are lovely.
You're gonna love it.
They're lovely. They were lovely. And it says It says I don't really care if these are of interest to you, boys.
Yes.
But I thought it'd be fun to share. Call me. No, you hang up.
All right. What day is it? I guess contacts. Hello?
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Nick. You're on Dynamic Banter.
I'm on Dynamic Banter. I was just talking about your podcast, Dynamic Banter.
What were you saying?
I'm going to start a podcast. I'm going to do a podcast now.
Oh, that's so cool.
What did that have to do with ours?
Well, because you have one.
And why did you mention us?
Just mention, well, I'm not doing the podcast. I'm mentioning it at a meeting about the podcast.
About our podcast? You had a meeting about our podcast?
I had a meeting about your podcast with my friend Becca, yeah.
Put Becca on, please.
Becca, you want to be on a podcast? You want to have a talk to Mike? Okay, I'm going to hand her over. Is that all right?
Yes.
Okay.
Hi, Mike.
Becca. So apparently, two people are out there talking about our podcast.
Without us knowing.
Unbelievable. James, where were you as the producer to stop any of this from happening?
I'm trying to make deals.
My ears were not burning. Isn't that what's supposed to happen when people talk about you?
Name one deal you've made for the show since you've started.
Easy. Watch.
Watch what? You?
Just watch and see.
Oh, easy.
That's going to be a nice surprise. A deal?
I love deals. I'm a big fan of deals.
Nick, we read your... Is there another one?
Yeah, there's a couple of them. This next history road comes from Jorge... Luis Bermudez. This is my drinking coffee sound.
I was drawing the way it tastes.
This one's called DB Interrupted My Patient's Therapy Session.
That's funny. I'm in.
Let's see what this is all about.
Dude, Nick had to be like, yeah, they do that.
What if she's crying?
There's no way, dude. You ever get hung up by someone you've never met before?
It makes me sad. It makes me sad for what could have been. Jorge says, hello, DB boys. My name is Jorge, and I'm a clinical psychologist, and I usually listen to you boys in between sessions in my private office. That's got to skew your diagnoses.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, they're like, you're not crazier than this. And then they play our show. It makes people feel better.
Yeah. What if your patient was like,
you think you're crazy?
I listen to stuff that's like really bizarre. No one else would ever listen to it. It's really weird. And my family thinks it's weird. And I shouldn't be listening to weird shit.
And then
right?
The therapist goes like this and plays our show.
Since people here can be a downer, is why they listen to it. Anyway, here in the main waiting room, excuse me.
Who's this?
And now, we're welcoming our friend Nicholas Gabrielson with Christmas in Rio. Sudden summer rain. That's lovely. Thank you
for
sharing
that. Thank you, Nicholas.
God,
dude, there needs to be a world.
There has to be.
There has to be a world. James,
come
listen.
On, man.
There has to be a world soon where this person comes out of the closet and sings the song.
Yeah, and then we stop them when we want to.
Let that be the deal. They're dressed like completely
nice and
lounge singer. Puff of smoke comes out.
Yes.
I'm already working on it.
He's making deals, Mike.
Yeah.
Anyway, in the main waiting room, I have recently installed a Bluetooth speaker so I can play calming music through my phone. So the waiting room isn't too boring. I see where this is going. So normally I'll find a playlist on YouTube and just have that play for people waiting. Normally, this is on my work YouTube account. However, This time I searched for a video on my personal YouTube account by accident. I also ended up choosing a video that was only 20 minutes long. Most of my sessions with patients are 50 to 60 minutes. So at the end of this calming video, I guess it went straight to the video I was watching before I started work, which was the new Commentarium. All right.
Shout out Patreon one time.
Now, I had already gotten to the part where my first defense against an adult bully is to yell, "That's not my dad." But I actually paused it and went back to before he says it, so then I could experience that moment again for work. Anyway, I was in the session with a couple. I was trying to save their marriage. And 20 minutes in, I hear Rowdy Roddy Piper say, "You're never going to physically overtake an adult. You can't do it, so forget it." This is when I was like, oh, fuck, I know what's coming. Then I hear, "That's not my dad! That's not my dad!" with Steve's laugh following. This was playing in the waiting room of their psychiatrist's office.
Dude, you're sitting there. Through a Bluetooth speaker. You're sitting there with your wife, and you're like, what happened to us? We used to go on vacation. We used to have dinners every night. Friday night used to be our night. Right. Then you get a little too busy. You don't see each other as much. And then Rowdy Roddy Piper screams, That's not my dad!
I was able to pause it through my Apple Watch quickly without my patients noticing, since they were distracted by Rowdy. Anyway, I kind of just played it off like the people next door must be watching something crazy. Since the door did muffle the sound of the video. Anyway, I'm glad DB didn't ruin their marriage, and I honestly hope they didn't realize it came from the lobby speaker.
Are they still together? That's what I need to know, though.
That's it. I can't wait for the next commentarium. Oh, yeah. And I know this was very unprofessional, so please don't report me. Also, go see Mike's Human Romance show at the world-famous Comedy Store in the Belly Room.
Please.
Also, catch Surrounded at the Hollywood Improv.
Amen. Amen. We up. Thank Amen. You so much.
And guess what? We have next, Mike.
What?
A Jesse Stillwell audio history road.
Are we good for that, or should we do abs?
Yeah, we're good for that.
Okay, great.
And I think it says, "Here we go again." And he says, "Oh shit, here we go again. Audio history road part deux." And there's a picture here of a blue pickup truck in a dump, it looks like. And it's up on some kind of thing. And it looks like it's trashed up.
Okay. And this is a pickup truck that's past its heyday.
Yeah, and it says here that the picture is relevant.
"Hey, boys, here's another story about another time I saw my dad's dick.
Oh.
So my dad decided that he hated the city life sometime in 1989 when I was 8 years old. He was from a very large family that lived high up in the mountains of southwestern Virginia on the border of Tennessee, so Washington, D.C., where I lived as a child, might as well have been another planet. I really don't know what led us to live there in the first place, but I remember arriving to our new home, a shitty one-story house in a clearing in the middle of 40 acres of trees and swamp in central Virginia. It was about an hour outside of D.C. I had a mouthful of gravel dust that got kicked up by our Datsun pickup truck hitting every single flaw in our new driveway, which was a winding three-quarters of a mile long nightmare of spiders and animal bones lined by a continuous awning of trees in various stages of health and decay. My brothers and I had to ride in the back of the truck because the Datsun only had enough room up front for two people. When it was too cold to ride in the back, basically cold enough for my mom to think she would have to pay for a hospital visit, I would ride on my mom's lap in the front seat without a seatbelt. That went on until I was about 13. I'm including a picture of the truck that's very similar to the one we had. It was like an Easter egg blue, and if you knew my dad, the Vietnam veteran and man's man of men's men, that color was way too gay to be a deliberate choice. We weren't really a family that had the financial means to make deliberate choices about much of anything. This was just a piece of shit that was the right price. About a half dozen years later in 1996, when I was 15, that same Datsun truck was sitting just off the driveway in the grass. It was growing weeds that splayed out from under its flat and dry rotted tires. Its rusty body was literally riddled with bullet holes, and all of its glass was shot out, where it still laid in the seats below. That's another story for another time. The truck was sitting along the edge of a new narrow path of gravel that my dad laid from the fat bend of the end of our driveway to—"
Dude, we do true crime podcast to figure out who shot the truck.
Let's find out.
Yeah.
Who shot the truck?
to a new hunting cabin that he built for his friends about 100 feet away from our house. They would all gather every year for a couple of weeks to murder deer and make fun of the guys who sucked at it, but it was really just an excuse to get away from their wives, drink beer, and have picnics with food cooked by fat southern men who looked like they knew what the fuck they were doing. The front of the two-story cabin opened up like an airplane hangar, and most days you would see my dad sitting in a shitty chair pulling cans of Budweiser out of a 24-pack off to the side. It was a hunting cabin for 2 weeks out of the year, and for the other 50 weeks, it was a place for him to go after work and silently hate everything about his life. Somewhere near the chair, the concrete floor was chipped because one morning when they were cleaning their rifles and playing dress-up for their big day, my uncle accidentally shot himself through his boot. The bullet ricocheted off the floor and left a dent in one of the exposed wooden support beams above, where, presumably, it still lives today. Just inside of the hangar entrance, you could see racks on racks of deer antlers hanging off of rusty hooks that had been inserted into one of those tool organizing boards with the holes in them, like Tim the Toolman Taylor would use to keep his power drills and stuff in his garage. Just outside of the hangar entrance, during hunting season, there was usually at least one large buck hanging between two dead trees by its hooves, dripping the remainder of its blood out of a decapitated neck hole until it was all gone. Then it would get chopped up and put into a freezer to be distributed evenly among the men to take home at the end of the 2 weeks. If I happened to look outside of the back window at the right time, I would see my dad's flaccid meat hanging out of his generic brand of blue jeans. He would cover the rotting pools of blood in a layer of foamy beer piss, and I still can't shake the smell, even though I haven't lived there since 2004. One summer night, that's just what my dad was doing, drinking in his shitty chair and getting up every now and again to piss in the blood-saturated ground that had been rotting there since the prior deer season and the countless seasons before that. I was in our living room, which was attached by our front door that led out to a screened-in front porch where I would go sit on an old van seat that was propped up against the vinyl siding of our house. The porch was an afterthought, so it still had the siding. It was hastily built by my dad not too long after we moved in. You could usually catch me sitting out there smoking the gross menthol cigarettes that I stole from my mom.
There's 2 hours left.
During the summer months, there was always a commotion of bugs, birds, and frogs. I could hear the dull roar of them fucking from behind the back window in our kitchen, which overlooked our above-ground hillbilly swimming hole that the frogs would use like a Roman bathhouse. I heard their lustful screams pierce the air of the living room where I was watching one of the three channels we got as my dad suddenly burst through the front door and slammed it behind him. He walked right by me into the bathroom, which was connected by a short hallway to the kitchen where my mom was preparing dinner. Then he slammed the bathroom door behind him. A few seconds later, from behind the door, I heard something like that meme of the deer that tramples its way down a plastic backyard slide, which usually ends with the drum fill from In the Air Tonight. When I heard the bathroom door open again, the bathtub faucet was running full out and my mom was screaming obscenities over it. I got up and power walked in there to see what the fuck was going on, and over my mom's shoulder I saw my dad laying in the ceramic bathtub with his legs stretched all the way out but bent at the knees because he was tall, and his free arm was dangling off the side. His dirt-softened jeans and piss-stained Fruit of the Looms were in the midst of sliding off the top of the toilet and onto the floor. He was still wearing a greasy work shirt and branded camouflage hat, but his bottom half was completely exposed.
Well, I feel like I know too much about the family.
Your dad is gross. Your dad was gross.
I missed the 30-second poems.
Water in the tub around his legs was rising, and I could see that it was starting to take on a light pinkish tint. That was when I noticed a small hole in the top of his leg streaming a red line of blood down into the water. As the water level rose above his pale white ball sack and gently lifted up his cock, it lazily bobbed on the surface like a lake buoy. I could make out the word hospital repeated in my mom's continued barrage of expletives and panic gasping breaths. My dad was just barely sober and lucid enough in a state of shock to tell her that he wasn't going to the hospital. This was a common fight they would have because my dad was generally reckless and would eagerly stare down death whenever he got the chance. We also didn't have health insurance. At the time, I still didn't know exactly what happened, but I've always been able to put two and two together, so I figured that he was probably doing the thing where he does John Wayne gun tricks while drunk because he had done that before and shot himself by accident, which he hadn't done before. I nailed that, by the way. I don't really know why I did this next thing, probably some form of helplessness mixed with a tinge of angsty satire because I was a smartass, but I left the bathroom and went into the kitchen where a packet drawer was. A packet drawer is kind of a ubiquitous ubiquitous thing among Southern families that were poor. When you would go get drive-through from a fast food restaurant, they used to stuff the bag with ketchup and mustard and whatever else, so you would take it home and just dump it in the family packet drawer. Ours had a layer of random tools and batteries on top, and one of the tools was a stud finder, and that's what I was madly digging for. I came back into the bathroom, turned it on, and looked my dad's dick right in the eye as I scrubbed the detector end of the stud finder over and around the area of the wound, expecting to hear the satisfying mechanical beep of hitting pay dirt. But it didn't work. My mom started laughing at the absurdity of the idea and maybe its ultimate irrelevance, and my dad even lifted his scrunched up chin off the top of his sunbaked chest just long enough to grin at me. His head was bobbing around like a Bollywood dancer in slow motion. I didn't know you could slur a grin, but he figured out how to do it. Anyway, my mom eventually talked him into going to the hospital, where they effectively did the same thing I did, but with a tool that was more apt for the job. They ultimately decided to just leave the 22 caliber bullet in his leg, and that's where it still was 20 years later, when it probably got brushed into a trash can full of teeth fillings and clumps of microplastics at the end of his cremation. I commissioned Casey Landerkin to do a charcoal painting of a History Road themed Dynamic Banter logo using my dad's wet ashes to commemorate this memory, if you were wondering what was in the package I sent. Up on that wall in that large shipping envelope, Mike. That's exactly what's in there.
Well, save with us.
Wait, there was an end.
Oh.
Let's start from the top.
What was in the package I sent? Up on that wall in that large shipping envelope, Mike. That's exactly what's in there. Anyway, thanks for giving me the time to tell my story again. I love you, boys. Till next time.
All right, Jesse. Well, I feel like I just watched Game of Thrones. What house is that?
That's
Canister?
Crazy that he Canister. Saw well, he saw his dad's dick because he got shot. He shot himself?
Yeah. That's one of three times it's acceptable to
That's
see your dad's
dick. That's wild, brother. What a story. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
All right.
Hope everybody's okay.
Let's do some ads. Guys, I want to thank HeadGum, Leah, Mike, Corey, James, Josh. My dad, my mom, my brother, my girlfriend,
Jesse's dad, my kitty cat.
Jesse's dad, Jesse's mom, Jesse's remains. Guys, let's talk about Rocket Money, Mamma Mia.
Dude, working at Rocket Money and getting the ads.
Listening to all the normal ones and then getting to this one. Guys, Rocket Money. Look, when it comes to spending, sometimes it's out of sight, out of mind. That daily coffee habit. Those streaming subscriptions. They add up so fast and you're not even noticing. And Rocket Money helps you spot those patterns so you can do something about them and keep more money in your pocket. Yeah. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. And Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when you use all the app's premium features. So cancel those unwanted subscriptions, reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money. Download the Rocket Money app and enter our show name, Dynamic Banter with Mike and Steve, in the survey so that they know that we sent ya. So don't wait. Download the Rocket Money app today and tell them you heard about them from the DBBB boys. Thank you, Rocket Money.
Thank you, Manny.
Thank you, Manny. Ooh, Factor Form. Guys, this is an interesting one because is Factor Form part of Factor? Guys, look. Most of us dread drinking greens. I don't want to drink some green drink that tastes like I got soil in my mouth. But Factor Form changed the game. You'll actually crave your greens As the sister brand of Factor Meals, there it goes. Factor Form was designed to work hand in hand with your meals, making better nutrition effortless. And Daily Greens is a powder by Factor Form you'll look forward to drinking. Just one scoop delivers 100% of your daily nutrients, filling nutrient gaps, supporting whole body health, and helping you feel your best.
I find it delicious.
I've been putting it in my water. I've been drinking it up. I feel hydrated. I feel more energy. We're talking refreshing, citrusy, clean, and smooth taste that's actually enjoyable to drink. You mix a single serve pack in water and you're good to go. I chug it, Mike. I thought it was delicious. We were talking about it on the last show or a couple shows ago. The delicious Factor, Factor Form. It's a new one. We gotta learn it. We gotta learn it. It's Factor Form. It's a new one and it's delicious. And guys, within days, you'll feel a difference. More energy, less bloat, sharper focus. It's a daily habit that feels like a win because it tastes good and makes you feel better. So start your day right with Daily Greens by Factor Form at factor75.com/banter. To get 40% off plus free shipping on your first order, that's factor75.com/banter for 40% off plus free shipping. That's factor75.com/banter. Delicious. Highly recommend. Made me feel good. Made me feel more hydrated. And Lord knows we need to be more hydrated. I'll tell you that much.
In times like these.
So thank you, Factor Form. So the Big Bang Theory is bullshit.
What do you mean? Did we only read the headline? What's in the article?
So John Parker sent us an email here, Mike. And I'm actually, this is actually kind of interesting because...
John Parker is Spider-Man, is he not?
Oh, shit. I don't think you're supposed to reveal that.
Shit. Works at the Daily Bugle, has a girlfriend named Lois.
John Parker says that he relates to Nick's poop story slightly.
Let's call Nick back.
Says, hey, boys, I got to say, I can on some level relate to Nicholas Hamilton Mason's poop story road. And I've got one of my own. My story's somewhat similar to Nick's. But I didn't yell whatever the fuck weird ass British thing he did to get his butlers or whatever to tend to his butt.
Pretty funny.
But since you boys keep talking about this story, which Mike didn't want to, I thought I'd share mine. You see, my friends, I've always been one for the home game. I always enjoy the home field advantage when taking the Browns to the Super Bowl. You know, making bears. This was especially true as a wee little lad, when I didn't know how to clean up my own brown town.
They but call them making bears, dude.
Making bears.
I've never heard that
they
before.
They look like little bears in there, don't they?
Have you heard that before?
I've not heard that before.
Making bears? Damn,
but
dude.
But I remember the one time I had to make push while at preschool. Everything went smoothly at first. But then I realized there were no parental unions available.
Dude. Look, there's a button that says preschool shit.
Here's a preschool fart. What is this?
What's in a preschool fart?
Capri Sun.
Fucking peanut butter and Play-Doh.
I didn't know what to do. I opted to just poke my little head out the door of the bathroom and silently wait for a caretaker to notice and clean up the wet mess I just made. I was too young. I was too young to really remember what my thought process was. I just knew I didn't know what I was doing back then. That's it. That's the whole story.
So his story relates to Nick's because he also pooped,
I guess,
once.
And wanted someone to wipe his butt.
Today's
but
making me
around.
Feel crazy.
Has he wiped to this day?
That's a great question.
Is there a number?
JJ Keller says, ooh, pick me, my mom died.
Oh, man. What a day. I'm going to need occupational therapy after today.
Hey, boys. I already told Mike about this on Instagram, but I felt it warranted a little history road and an update. I was at the second Tacoma live show and got that call. My mom, who had been in hospice care, seemed like she was nearing the end. Oh, sorry. Sometimes it's fun, dude. Of course, I left and drove the hour back up north so I could be there with her and my sister. She ended up. we gotta laugh. You know, laughter's a medicine too.
I can't show me.
I don't know. Mike's gotta go to the beach.
Dude. That's a beach. That was a beach button.
That was the beach button.
That's a beach button, dude.
The guy for the Beach Boys died. You know that?
Dude, Trump killed Brian Wilson.
Guys, welcome back to the show. I didn't do that. You know, that wasn't me.
The only thing that's important to remember here is that I didn't do that.
So she ended up making it almost another 24 hours before passing away. Please shut up.
Drink this.
Please shut
drink
up.
The drink the whole up. Thing.
Shut up. Please.
Check your phone.
She had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's about 5 years ago, and at just 59 years old, passing at the age of 60. Terrible, terrible disease, but also glad to know she's finally at peace. I wanted to share something related to her that I think DB fans might also enjoy. I never shared DB with her on account of I respect her too much,
yeah.
But she did have a good sense of humor. She loved classic 90s comedies like Dumb and Also Dumb and Uncle Buck.
And Uncle Dumb.
Uncle Dumb. We also had a you ever see Uncle Dumb? We also had a fun yearly debate related to a holiday song, much like you too. She loved the song Same Old Lang Syne by Dan Fogelberg.
Same old having a Christmas time.
Same old simply having a same old Christmas time. And I have no idea how popular the song is or was, but if you aren't familiar, it's essentially a lovely holiday song about adultery.
About Dan Fogelberg?
Dan sings about being at a grocery store on Christmas Eve and running into his high school girlfriend. They proceed to go to his car, drink a bunch of wine, and make out, but she eventually drives back home in the snow. All I can think about is how she probably just ran to the store to pick up one ingredient they forgot for Christmas ham and ended up being gone for 2 hours getting drunk and kissing a guy she hasn't seen in 15 years. Meanwhile, her family is worried absolutely fucking sick, thinking she skid into a tree on the way there or something. None of that could convince my mom that it was anything other than a fun holiday love song. So thank you for all you do for me and everyone else. You are making this difficult time a little easier, JJ.
JJ, beautiful story, beautiful tradition. Holy moly, I hope that one lives on.
Beautiful email.
I don't think I've ever heard that song before. I'm intrigued.
Now I want to hear it, yeah.
It's called Fingering by the Fireplace.
And then how about one more here from Ben Costi, a Wickwillian candle flavors. It's been a minute, so I came up with a few new flavors of candles for the long-lost Wickwillian Candles Company.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Went out of business years ago. Love you, boys. Here's one. How about a candle named Grandma's Couch?
Mm-hmm.
off-brand electronics accessories.
Not bad.
My gallstone.
Oh, I mean, truly gross.
Fingernail clippings.
Going, hedging our bets into gross.
Old receipts.
Good, back in.
Moistened postage stamp.
Hmm.
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2.
Yes, big fan.
Juju eyeball.
Can't say that.
Forgotten math book.
Okay.
Itchy leg. Okay. Let me light up some itchy leg here. Wet sock. Urethra Franklin. And Midnight Velvet.
Midnight Velvet sounds... That's like the air freshener you get at the car wash. Is Midnight Velvet.
Yeah. Midnight Velvet. Okay, let's do one more here, actually, and then we'll say goodbye. How about from Zacharias? History observations. Hello there, loud and chill.
Okay. Okay.
Longtime fan here, finally writing to you for the first time ever, all the way from north of the wall in Finland.
Fuck, man. Finland.
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 The last of the snow literally melted less than a month ago. My God. All 8 of your Finnish fans agree this summer sucks so far.
We get together, we listen to the show in Finland.
We listen to the show. Also, happy birthday to Steve and happy birthday to me too. I turned 30 on Wednesday and I'm freaking out. Hell, where did the time go? Help, it only gets faster. Anyways, I don't have a traditional history road for you, but more of a history observation. Yeah. I recently started re-listening to your Honkcast from the beginning, and it's been a very interesting experience. Here are a few of my observations. I had completely forgotten that History Roads used to be just people's fictional stories.
Fictional stories?
Yeah.
Was that ever the case?
It was just always people telling us stuff that happened in their lives.
Non-fiction.
Was it fictional? It was. Oh, maybe it was.
Nonfiction. Just got here. It was fictional stories? Or do we all not know what nonfiction means? Let's go back. Can we listen to the first 100 episodes?
Let's go back
episodes
and listen to it right now. Steve used to really hurt poor Mike's ears, and I'm so sorry about
that. That's okay. It's in the past. I
apologize profusely about that.
I never heard you say you're sorry.
You guys no longer honk horns or ring bells, so your opening song is technically false advertising. You need to have Will as a guest again. That boy is so chaotic and weird and works so well for your dynamic. Lastly, have you boys noticed how Steve's voice has changed? He talks a little bit like in the Miller Genuine Draft bits you guys do. Is
that's
that true?
Drugs. That's lighting a tiny fire in your mouth
I'm
every day.
I'm on ketamine.
Since 2019.
Hope my observations didn't bore you too much. Before I go, I'd like to ask for your guidance. I'm a jobless artist who just turned 30.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.